In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Last week and a half or so, we've been hearing a lot, and I've been reading stories and articles about Ash Wednesday. Because this year in the West, they started Lent, as they typically do, with putting ashes on their forehead. So I've seen discussions, and people have asked me, why do the churches in the West do that? Why do they anoint themselves with ashes? And why don't the Orthodox do that? That's pretty much true. You know, the Byzantine Eastern Orthodox churches don't have that practice of Ash Wednesday. We don't put ashes on our forehead at the beginning of Lent. I don't know why they do in the Catholic Church, and I'm not going to talk about it today, but rather I'm gonna, what do we do? What do the Orthodox churches do to prepare for Great Lent? And this is important for us to talk about today because we're starting the preparation today. Today is the beginning of the Triodion, as it's called. It's that period of time building up to Lent and including Great Lent. You know, it's interesting, in the West, we know Easter is very much earlier than in the Orthodox Church. So there's a huge kind of like 5-week gap between their Easter and ours. They just started Lent a week and a half ago, and we're starting the preparation for Lent now. So there's kind of a parallel. It shows you that in our church, we take a long time to prepare, right? We know that. We come to church and we hear, "Let us depart in peace," and then 20 minutes later, we're still in church. It takes us a while to do things. So finishing, we do slowly, and starting, we do slowly. But there's wisdom in that. The Triodion is to build us up and to prepare us for what we are about to experience with Lent. This Sunday is the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. Next Sunday is the prodigal son. After that, it's meat fair and then cheese fair. So each one of us takes us along a little bit closer to that experience of Lent. Now, when I was growing up in the church, I have to admit, you know, we didn't like Lent as a kid. When you're little, you think about being deprived. You think about the services being longer, and they are longer. You think about all the things you can't do and you can't have. So it's kind of a drag. Oh, Lent is coming. You know, it's going to kill me. But as you get older and you experience and you learn, it's certainly not about making us miserable. What is Lent for and how do we prepare for it? Certainly, it's that little block of time. It's a portion of our year that we dedicate to more prayer, fasting, almsgiving, you know, works of charity, basically doing what we're supposed to be doing all the time, but focusing all our energy on that. That's what Lent is. It's a gift for us, really. It's a gift. As we experience it, though, we're going to feel it a little bit, and that's important. Things are supposed to feel different during Lent. If we just sail through and don't even know that the time and the season are different, it's not doing us any good. See? So Lent is about getting into a frame of mind. It's a way of thinking. It's a state of the heart. And that's what I want to tell you today. During Lent, we prepare ourselves for the Lord Jesus. Most of the year, we know that we're saved by faith. We know that Jesus died for us. We come to the Divine Liturgy. We celebrate the Eucharist. We know that He is risen and we have life if we believe in Him. But during Lent, we put ourselves in a frame of mind that makes us desire Him more. And we do that by taking ourselves back to before He came. Think about that. It's very interesting. You have to kind of put yourself in a state of expectation so you can appreciate what you're going to get. When I was at St. Vladimir's Seminary, a very memorable experience for me, I remember the first time I had to preach in the chapel. So second year students preach for the first time. And mine was during the Christmas Lent, during Advent, my first time. And I looked at that schedule and the readings and I thought, Old Testament readings, how am I going to preach on the Old Testament? You know, first time, it's hard. We're used to the gospel. We're used to Jesus and the parables. The point is, the services during those times are Old Testament readings. They don't read the gospels during Advent and during Lent at the daily services. Why? Because we're putting ourselves into that state of expectation, waiting for the Lord to come. So we can desire Him all that much more. We do that here too. The pre-sanctified liturgies, they're all the Old Testament readings. Genesis, the story of Noah and his sons. We hear about Abraham. All the things that were shadows and figures of what was to come. So it's to help us love God and desire Him that much more. So fasting is also a big part of it. And when we fast, the one thing I realized over time, you know, as you get older, you have a little bit of wisdom, and you know that fasting is really not so much about what you eat. It's about being obedient to a rule. That might sound a little funny, but it's true. You know, I can go a long period of time without eating meat. In fact, I did that in my personal life. Not related to faith at all, but, you know, if I have strong willpower, I can do that. It's not about having strong willpower. It's about deciding with your mind and your heart that I'm going to follow and I'm going to be obedient to these fasting guidelines. So the church says, you know, during Lent, there's no meat, there's no fish, there's no dairy products, there's no eggs. You know, there's some oil, there's wine on the Saturdays and Sundays. So it's very specific. It teaches us what to do and what not to do. And all we have to do is decide that we're going to follow that. And then we do it. It's kind of like what goes on in the monasteries. You know, when people are taking the monastic life, they have to be obedient to an elder. They don't make decisions for themselves about where to go, what to do, how to eat, what time. It's all obedience. So we get a little taste of that during Lent. That's why it's good for us just to follow the rules. And if you have a hard time following the rules, talk to your priest about it. You know, things can be changed or modified, or we can understand and exercise what they call economia, you know. So it's about obedience. While we're being obedient and while we're keeping the fast, we have to be very careful, and this is what we heard in the gospel today, about thinking we're doing a great thing. See, if it's my willpower, if I did good, if I'm super strong and focused, and I abstained and I went to all the services and I remembered to do my prayers, I'm good. And that kind of thinking gets us in trouble. That's what the Pharisee had going on in the gospel today. He stood before God in the temple and he started telling God all the ways that he's wonderful. And thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this guy over here who has his face to the ground for good reason. Because he was a sinner and he knew it. The Pharisee was also a sinner, but he couldn't see it. So in this gospel today, we're supposed to relate to the publican, the tax collector. Humble ourselves before God. The danger in thinking I'm doing this of my own willpower and of my own design is that we could very easily puff ourselves up and not give God the glory. So my advice to all of us is obedience during Lent. Follow the rules. It's not you. If you succeed, it's the grace of God, and you thank Him for it. But we don't ever want to fall into the trap of pointing fingers or looking around us and saying, yeah, but this person over here and this person over here. That's very dangerous spiritually. It puts us in a place of judgment against another. And then we become superior and we lift ourselves up before God. And He does not want that. He wants us with our faces to the ground saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. So the lesson in all of this is that our salvation is by grace, isn't it? It's not our own doing. It's not that I have strength or willpower or wisdom or whatever. I'm simply following a rule. I'm obedient and I'm relying solely on God's mercy. So when we fast, please keep those things in mind. There are a lot of regulations and guidelines in the Orthodox Church. And here's one thing that we can say. Sometimes people like to say, yeah, there's a lot of ritual and maybe they just go through the motions. But we don't allow that. Because it's not enough just to not eat the food, or say the prayers, or come to the services, or pay the tithe, or whatever other list you can come up with. It's not enough just to do it. You have to do it with the right heart. And God knows the heart. So if we're doing it just to do it or to make a show, it's in vain, right? And it's not really doing it. So our faith requires that we do it, and that we do it with a good heart. So seeing that and understanding that, that we're saved by grace, we have to see our sins. We have to be like that publican. And there's one thing we in the Orthodox Church do to start off Great Lent that's kind of unique. We don't put the ashes on our forehead. Rather, we ask other people for forgiveness. We have a forgiveness service. It's on the Sunday evening cheese fair, right before Lent starts, Forgiveness Vespers. After the service, everybody in the church asks every other person for forgiveness. Make a prostration on the ground. We kiss them 3 times. Forgive me. We're asking our brothers and sisters forgiveness of our sins. That's what we do. That's how we enter into Great Lent in the Orthodox Church. So it's important that we all know that. And knowing that, maybe we would take advantage of that and come to the service and start out Lent with a clean heart. We call that first week of Lent Clean Week, Clean Monday, Clean Tuesday, Clean Wednesday, etc. I want to encourage your participation in the services, beloved in Christ. Sometimes Lent starts and we miss it. And we're halfway through and Holy Week's upon us and we say, how'd that happen? I wasn't into it. I didn't feel it. I wasn't ready. So be ready this year. Engage the services and the prayers and the spiritual life as much as you can. There's one thing about asking forgiveness of another person. Nobody can see it. It's not a mark on your forehead. Nobody knows you did it except God and that other person and you. That's what we do in the church. Because, you know, the one thing that equalizes all of us, the great equalizer is death, they say, but that stems from sin. So we're all alike in that we all sin and we need forgiveness and we're relying on the grace of God. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive us, admitting that we're sinners. And then just as we forgive others. So please engage in that service. And I also want to recommend, before I finish today, we're leading up to Great Lent, but I want to recommend this book, Great Lent by Father Schmemann, Journey to Pascha. It's really wonderful. It's one of those books that explains everything you've ever wanted to know. Why is the pre-sanctified liturgy like that? Why on this Sunday is there that reading? Why is the epistle this? Why do we do this? You know, it's explained in clear, clean language, and it's one of those books that you kind of wish everyone got when they entered the church, you know, when you're baptized, in Sunday school, when you're an adult. There's always time to learn. This is a great way to learn, so I highly recommend that as we proceed throughout these coming weeks toward Great Lent. This is my hope for all of us, that we enter with a pure heart and that we don't have pride. And we're not puffed up. May we be humble, and especially today, hear the words of the Lord who says, anyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But if we humble ourselves before God, we will be lifted up. And that's our wish and our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.